Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take a stack of information and extract the most important nuggets of knowledge for you. Today, we are delving into a compelling study that tackles a crucial contemporary challenge: fostering digital literacy among older adults. Our objective is to thoroughly examine an innovative approach from Japan, one that skillfully combines electronic crafting with traditional practices, offering a pathway to digital fluency that feels both empowering and, well, deeply meaningful.
That's right. This deep dive specifically analyzes research documenting an electronic card making workshop. What makes it so compelling is that it was co-developed with and then delivered by older women in Japan. It presents a potent argument for how technology engagement can be seamlessly integrated with existing skills and community values, effectively challenging, you know, common assumptions about how older adults interact with digital tools.
So, if you are wondering how something as familiar as crafting can become a surprising bridge to digital skills, or perhaps how community-led initiatives can redefine learning, you are in for a well-informed discussion. Let's dig into this study, exploring its origins, its execution, and the comprehensive findings that offer profound implications for truly inclusive technology initiatives. Before we dive into the project itself, it is crucial to grasp why digital competency has become so vital. For everyone, regardless of age, proficiency in digital domains is now essential for navigating daily life. This is no longer optional. It has become, well, a fundamental requirement.
And what's particularly significant here is the nuanced understanding of the gray digital divide. This disparity in digital resource access among older adults doesn't arise solely from ageist assumptions about their technological aptitudes. Instead, comprehensive research reveals it stems from intricate combinations of structural impediments, deeply held perceptions, and specific contextual conditions. This calls for intervention strategies that are far more subtle and responsive.
That's a powerful distinction. It's not just about age, but structural barriers. Can you elaborate on what some of those structural impediments might look like in an older adult's daily life, perhaps beyond just access to a device?
Certainly. Structural impediments can include the complexity of interfaces, which are often designed without older users in mind, or the lack of localized appropriate digital content. Beyond that, there is the cost of internet access or devices, insufficient public support systems for learning, or even, say, transportation barriers to access learning centers. The ingrained perception, both from society and sometimes from older adults themselves, that technology is not for them, that also plays a substantial role.
And despite this clear and complex need, there's a significant gap in research. There's been a scarcity of studies exploring creative engagement with technology, especially physical electronics making, often termed e-making, for older adults. That seems like a substantial missed opportunity given the potential for engagement and skill development.
Mm-hmm. And when we connect this to the broader cultural context, crafting activities hold considerable significance in Japan. They are widespread, serving as both personal hobbies and vital avenues for social connection within communities. These practices trace their cultural roots back to the Edo period, where traditional arts were regarded as practical matters relevant to daily life, particularly for women. Crafting has emerged as a key factor for successful aging in Japan, especially for women who boast one of the world's highest average life expectancies. Consider Masako Wakamiya, who at 81 developed her first smartphone game, and by 87 designed pixel art for fabric printing. This truly exemplifies sustained engagement and innovation.
That deep dive into the cultural context, the appreciation for crafting, truly laid the groundwork for how this electronic card workshop even began. Tell us about where this study was situated.
The study was based in a suburban housing complex in Yachiyo, Japan, an area with a substantial aging rate of 45%. That's significantly above the national average of 29.1%. Quite a difference, isn't it?
It certainly is.
A crucial element was the community center there, which is run by older residents themselves. And they had an established, trusting collaboration with the research team extending back several years. This existing rapport proved invaluable.
Okay, so the setting was right. The initial proposal for a digital engagement activity centered on the Tape Blocks Toolkit. What made that the initial choice?
Well, the Tape Blocks Toolkit was chosen deliberately due to its low entry barrier, its ease of use, even with limited manual dexterity, and its flexibility to accommodate personal creativity. This aligns with various forms of manual crafting. The researchers believed it offered a promising starting point for digital engagement.
However, during preliminary discussions, a pivotal moment occurred. Crucial participant feedback emerged. While the older women were intrigued by the learning prospects, the standard form factor of the Tape Blocks Toolkit, it didn't resonate with their existing crafting practices. Comments indicated it was deemed appropriate for children, but not for grandmas. That's quite direct feedback. How did the research team pivot from that? What kind of brainstorming did it spark?
That direct feedback was indeed instrumental. It prompted the research team to embrace a true co-development approach. Collaborative brainstorming led to adapting the Tate Block's principles to create customized electronic New Year cards. This innovative step blended the existing practice of collage making with the integration of electronic circuits, resulting in artifacts with specific cultural meaning and, well, a far greater appeal to the participants. This collaborative process ensured the activity was relevant and engaging from the start.
So with this co-developed concept in hand, how did the workshops actually proceed? Tell us about the first group of learners.
The first workshop involved 14 older adult women, all native Japanese, and aged between 70 and 80 years. None possessed prior experience with electronics or digital crafting, and some faced challenges with manual dexterity due to conditions such as arthritis. It was a group diverse in experience, but united by a curiosity for new engagement.
And how was the workshop structured for them, particularly given their lack of prior experience?
The procedure for this workshop was structured in two stages. Participants first created collages on the card fronts using magazines, themed pictures, and various decorative materials. This was a familiar creative phase. Following that, electronic components such as LEDs and vibration motors were integrated. Basic concepts related to polarity and circuit integrity were introduced in a practical way. A voltage test bed was employed to determine battery requirements for the components. The entire workshop spanned approximately 3 hours, allowing ample time for creative exploration and technical integration.
What's compelling is how the initiative evolved for the second workshop. It wasn't just repeated. Some participants transitioned to a new role.
That's right. Four of the initial participants, who are also community leaders, volunteered to deliver a subsequent workshop for 15 local children, aged 9 to 15 years. The research team provided the necessary materials and technical support, but the women truly led the instruction.
And did they teach the children in the same way they had been taught, or did their approach change now that they were the facilitators?
Their approach underwent a notable modification. The older women opted not to provide an initial overview or explicit explanations of electronic concepts to the children. Instead, they began by showcasing a completed electronic card and guided the children through the collage process first. The electronic components were introduced only after the collage was complete, presented as a means to enhance their creations. This made the technology less intimidating and far more immediately applicable for the younger participants.
Our deep dive into the findings surfaces several key insights. Let's begin with flexible learning and support. What did the study reveal about how these women acquired new skills?
A profound principle emerged. Purpose-driven learning is paramount. The study vividly illustrates that older adults are most engaged and successful when digital skills are directly linked to practical applications, social contributions, or deeply held personal values. Not just presented as abstract technical knowledge, they sought skills for practical application, you see, not theoretical mastery. We observed the prominence of implicit learning over explicit instruction. For example, participants understood that the long lead of light needs to be taped to the red wire, otherwise it does not work, despite lacking formal vocabulary for polarity.
And how did that implicit learning, that desire for practical application, influence the support they received and the roles they took on?
It underscored the essential role of researcher support, which was always on hand, but not intrusive. The women also demonstrated a remarkable readiness to transition from learners to peer supporters, and then later to mentors for the children. This fluid exchange of knowledge and roles was a defining feature of the initiative. It demonstrates that support systems should be adaptable and empower participants to become instructors themselves.
Cultivating task approachability also proved vital. How did the design of the workshop overcome initial hesitation about technology?
The key insight here is start with the familiar, embed the new. Initial participant hesitation regarding technical complexity, well, it dissipated once the workshop commenced with the familiar collage activity. Presenting e-making as a method to enhance cards rather than prioritizing the wiring process itself substantially improved its accessibility. The use of easy-to-manipulate, inexpensive, and familiar materials, such as conductive tape, which was perceived as akin to normal tape rather than intimidating wires, also played a significant part in easing anxieties.
Beyond just technical ease, what about the aesthetic aspect? How did the focus on the finished product contribute?
Prioritizing aesthetic value was paramount. The study showed that aesthetics drive engagement. There was a deliberate focus on creating personalized, visually appealing artifacts that reflected individual preferences and cultural elements. For instance, the appreciation for kawaii, the Japanese concept of cuteness aesthetics. Electronic components were integrated primarily for their visual impact, and the quality and appeal of the cards were of foremost importance, as they were intended for display and sharing within the community. The technology served the creative outcome, not the other way around.
And how did all of this impact the women themselves, their sense of self within the community?
This led directly to empowering positive social identities through creation. The act of creating these artifacts served as tangible proof of their acquired skills, significantly enhancing their confidence and perceived confidence within the community. Participants expressed sentiments such as, "Wow, you could make something such as that." We observed a swift transition of women from learners to teachers, actively supporting peers, and subsequently the children. This reflected their desire to fulfill valued social roles within their community.
This sounds like it had an impact far beyond the individuals. How did it ripple out into the broader community?
The initiative generated meaningful community impact. The collective decision to display the completed cards in the community center enhanced the festive theme for the New Year celebration. The second workshop served as a powerful form of intergenerational connection, known as Sedaikan Kuri in Japanese, where older women transmitted cultural values while engaging children's modern interests through technology.
That's a beautiful example of knowledge transfer. And I understand it also used a snowball approach to involve more residents. Can you explain that?
It certainly did. For instance, an older man whose niece participated was given a brief explanation and offered support. Parents collecting children were provided materials and instructions to help complete cards at home. This demonstrated how the initiative fostered a broader sense of belonging and mutual trust within the community, extending its reach organically.
These findings offer broader implications for inclusive e-making. What core takeaway should organizations consider when designing technology initiatives for older adults?
A key implication is that e-making initiatives for older adults should transcend a needs-based approach or, learning for its own sake. Instead, they should aim to uncover both stated and unstated purposes, such as cultural celebration, sharing, and enabling that transition from learner to teacher. Framing technology as a means to fulfill valued social roles. The essence is technology as a means to a valued social end.
And in terms of the actual tools and materials, what did the study suggest about how to approach that?
The study proposes the untoolkit concept. Rather than fixed toolkits, this advocates for flexible components adaptable to existing crafting practices. It de-emphasizes the electronic elements and focuses on how technology adds aesthetic value, thereby reducing pressure on participants. This allows for genuine integration rather than forced adoption, promoting adaptable tools for existing practices.
The idea of implicit learning was also prominent in the findings. How should this inform instruction?
The study advises prioritizing observational and hands-on learning, something akin to traditional apprenticeships. It suggests that older adults often retain implicit learning effectively. So, proposing that starting activities by showing and doing can be more efficacious than extensive verbal explanations, even for electronics. This aligns with learning styles prevalent in traditional Japanese crafting, emphasizing learning by doing, not just by telling.
And finally, what about the bedrock of the entire endeavor? Community engagement.
Fostering deep community engagement is critical. The study emphasizes the paramount importance of building long-standing rapport, practicing patience, and active listening in community-based research. It highlights the Japanese concept of ma, meaning in-betweenness, as a valuable cultural lens for respectful engagement. Fostering communities of practice that reinforce meaning, practice, community, and identity. This is about cultivating genuine community partnerships.
Our deep dive unveils a compelling narrative that by building on existing strengths, respecting cultural practices, and facilitating a shift from learner to teacher, technology can become a powerful tool for social and personal flourishing among older adults. It suggests that inclusivity is not merely about providing access, but about designing experiences that resonate deeply with purpose and identity.
Indeed. This study demonstrates that successful technology initiatives for older adults are those that align with their desires to contribute, connect, and transmit knowledge across generations. The focus transitions from simply adopting technology to leveraging it as an instrument for community enrichment and fulfilling social roles.
So, what does this all mean for you? Consider how these principles of embracing existing skills, prioritizing implicit learning, and fostering reciprocal mentorship might be applied in your own communities or endeavors. How might we design experiences that empower individuals, regardless of age, to not just learn about new tools, but to become the innovators and teachers who shape their communities with confidence and purpose? This is a question worthy of further thought and exploration.